Hello, and welcome back to another episode of The Tempo, the official podcast of the Kappa Kappa Psi Alumni Association. We are your hosts, Sav,
Mark,
and Tori.
In this episode, we bring you the history of Kappa Kappa Psi in celebration of our 105th Founders Day. This information is provided by the Kappa Kappa Psi timeline, courtesy of the Kappa Kappa Psi Archives and History Committee. To view the timeline, visit history.kkpsi.org. You can also share your stories, access your chapter's petitioning documents, and much more.
The live timeline of Kappa Kappa Psi was introduced during the centennial celebration by the Archives and Histories Committee. This website features information about the Founding Fathers, past national and district leadership, and the history of all national headquarters. You can find petitioning group documents from your home chapter. Additionally, as mentioned earlier, you can visit the site to share your own Kappa Kappa Psi stories.
Did it say when it was introduced? Oh, the centennial. Yeah. I'm great at listening and reading.
Were you making faces?
No.
It looked like you were making goofy faces. That's why I did this, so I couldn't see you. Just out of the corner of my eye, I was like, I can't laugh, Mark, stop it.
Who, me?
In the beginning years, starting in the fall of 1919, William A. Scroggs approached Oklahoma A&M director of bands, Bohm Mikofsky, with an idea for a national organization to form closer ties between the bandsmen of the country's universities. Professor Mikofsky saw the great potential for such an organization and recommended the top 10 bandsmen to form it. After its founding, the charter members worked to spread excitement for the organization first on campus and then nationally. They mailed informational letters to 10 universities and received 5 letters back expressing interest. In the fall of 1920, Montana State University and the University of Washington were the first to send petitioning documents, becoming the Beta and Gamma chapters in December 1920.
Sometimes I forget how, like, early on in the alphabet Gamma is, being from the West. Like, I just kind of realize that now.
Yeah. Like, I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah. I just don't really think about that stuff.
I've gone up to the University of Washington for one of their open chapters and just, like, met some of the brothers there. But, like, obviously I know Gamma's, like, up there. But I just, like, wow, you were, like, one of the first petitioning groups. That's crazy.
Yeah.
With steady growth, I was like, I don't know how to segue out of that.
That's how. Yeah, that's a good segue.
Segue! With steady growth, preparations were made to host the first national meeting of Kappa Kappa Psi at Oklahoma A&M in January 1922. Shortly after the close of the convention, the organization offered membership to John Philip Sousa. He enthusiastically responded, saying, "Brothers, I have received medals and honors from every civilized country, but I feel this honor above all due to the fact that this was given to me by a group of university bandsmen who are furthering the great work that I have dedicated my whole life to." Though voted on as a national honorary, Sousa's membership was assigned to the Delta Chapter.
Delta Chapter is the University of Oklahoma. I looked it up in my pocket, Sai.
I was going to say, Delta the chapter that does a really loud clapping every time someone says their chapter name? Or am I tripping?
Is that them?
Yeah, I think it is them.
That's so funny. I love that.
So my first district convention was this past April, I think. I can't remember, March or April. But for my first Southwest District Convention, and it was every single meeting, they did the little thing.
I do think it's funny, in, like, Sousa's response, he's like, "I've received medals and honors from every civilized country." Like, he was really like, "I am that man." Like,
I have gotten
so many medals, so many honors, but this right here, this is even better. Like, he's, shout out to KK Psi for that.
He said, "I am him."
I am him. He is me. I am the moment. That's so funny.
Good thing.
I love a good quote.
It's great.
From there, Kappa Kappa Psi grew rapidly during its first 10 years, with 27 chapters that spanned from Duke University in the east to the University of Washington in the West. The petitioning document was very important in the early days of the fraternity, because it was mailed to each chapter as a way to introduce a new colony to the national organization. So each chapter would then vote on whether or not to accept the colony to the fraternity. That's wild. I mean, obviously, it had to start from somewhere small, but, like, imagine being, like, a group deciding whether or not a new chapter is going to open up in your district or something. I don't know, it's wild, but it's, like, for the whole country. At the 1927 National Convention, Grand President J. Lee Burke presided and helped to stabilize the constitutional framework and administrative structure of Kappa Kappa Psi. He brought the young organization its first set of comprehensive bylaws and parliamentary procedures. Additionally, he created the Office of National Executive Secretary. Fortunately, the national organization left that convention on good footing, as growth slowed during the Great Depression and almost ground to a halt during World War II.
I think it would be super cool. Like, I was just thinking about it as you were talking about, like, the 27 chapters in the first 10 years. Like, I think it would be super cool to see, like, an interactive map with, like, watching the chapters, like, pop up. Yeah, like, to just see them, like, start and then slowly, like, move across the country. Like, because in the timeline on the website that we mentioned, as you're scrolling, it'll tell you, like, this chapter was installed. But, like, to see it visually would be super cool, because I think you would, like, maybe there was a time where, like, a lot of schools within one district, or at that time, the districts weren't the way that they are now, but, like, maybe, like, you could see, like, geographically, like, certain areas start to, like, become hotspots. Like, that would be super fun. That would be a really cool project to, like, make happen.
Did you guys... You guys roped in on the email that Dina helped get for us of what the districts looked like beforehand. What
did you think of that?
That was cool, too.
Yeah, it was super interesting.
Yeah, that was wild.
So it's on Facebook, and it basically just has the districts split up much differently than they are now. It's kind of hard to see, but there you go. Yeah, it's pretty cool, I think. Before World War II, most college bands were exclusively male. And when the war began, band members left to serve in the armed forces. This greatly strained the fraternity to the point that 90% of chapters were forced to suspend their activities. And then the national organization granted those chapters what they called war furlough. Instead of treating the chapter as inactive, their military service would be honored. And so only 5 chapters remained active during the war, which is pretty crazy. Because of the diminished numbers due to the number of men serving in the military, many band programs opened up to women. At Texas Tech, a local sorority for band women was established as Tau Beta Sigma. The sorority petitioned Kappa Kappa Psi to be chartered as an auxiliary chapter of the fraternity, which was supported by founder A. Frank Martin, who was serving as the National Executive Secretary, and also Max Mitchell, Grand Second Vice President. However, due to the severely reduced numbers of members, the fraternity was unable to decide whether or not they wanted to accept Tau Beta Sigma's petition. Ultimately, Tau Beta Sigma decided not to become an auxiliary chapter of Kappa Kappa Psi and chartered as a national organization on March 26, 1946. And they were officially recognized and accepted as a sister organization of the fraternity at the first national convention following the war in 1947.
Yay
for the sisters. That's interesting, though. I didn't know that it was petitioned from Texas Tech. I did not know that.
I think that has to do with the alpha chapter of it's why it's the beta chapter now for Tau Beta Sigma, from them starting at Tech. Whenever it was, like, they combined, the alpha chapter became the chapter at the same school as the alpha chapter of KSI. If I remember my things correctly. I will say, though, because I am from an old chapter, my chapter was founded right smack dab in the middle of that last bit of timeline. My chapter's founding is in October of 1946.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So it's like right in between the two.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
After the war, the fraternity began an ambitious expansion program to reactivate old chapters and install new ones. The program was quite successful, and in the 10 years following the fraternity's reorganization in 1947, the fraternity more than doubled the number of installed chapters, growing from 45 chapters installed before the war to 98 by the end of 1957. In 1947, the signature program of the fraternity, the National Intercollegiate Band, became a reality. Noob?
Yeah. Pepperidge Farm remembers. Go on.
The idea dates back to 1922 with the following.
I don't know what's happening.
Sorry, I got the giggles and it won't go away.
Oh my gosh.
The idea dates back to 1922 with the following statement appearing in the baton. Sometime within the next 2 years, the Kappa Kappa Psi fraternity will hold a national intercollegiate band contest. This enterprise will be the first of its kind ever attempted. As music is becoming the foremost art in America, our fraternity aims to assist in so spreading the good work. Starting in the 1930s, local chapters of Kappa Kappa Psi in Colorado and Wyoming sponsored a regional intercollegiate band, with F. Lee Bowling serving as manager. When Mr. Bowling served as national president in 1941, he presented a plan to hold an NIB concert at the 1943 National Convention. However, the war prevented it. The first concert of the NIB was held on March 7th, 1947, and has been a part of every national convention since.
I really hope that anytime we read NIB, we just say NIB in our heads.
That's why I started laughing.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway, it's really cool that it's really cool that it's been going on for that long, though. That's what, almost 7 years? That's a serious achievement.
I also forgot that National Convention didn't used to be during the summer. It didn't get changed to being over the summer until like a while after it started being a thing, right? I think.
Oh, yeah. So does that mean it was held in like the spring?
I think it was it was similar to district conventions before it got changed to being like a big thing over the summer.
Oh.
I don't remember when it changed to being over the summer though. Brain is not braining.
Yeah, I mean the first concert of the NIB was March 1947. Mm. So, and that happens to be the like same month in which Tau Beta Sigma became a national organization, so maybe like, yeah, it was like March time. That's when they did it, and now it's always in like July.
Mm.
Mark, what year was your chapter chartered?
49.
Oh wow, so both of you guys are in like the same era.
Old.
Tori's in the World War II era. Mark, you're in the post-war era.
Oh, true.
We'll get to mine in about about 80 years.
From August 17th to 22nd in 1969, brothers gathered where it all began at Oklahoma State University to celebrate the 50th anniversary of Kappa Kappa Psi. 5 of the 10 charter members were present, including Scroggs, A. Frank Martin, Carl Stevens, George Usher Hendrickson, and Ira H. Nelson. All right, William A. Scroggs. There, I'll make it all cohesive. Additionally, a bronze bust of Bo was presented to the Oklahoma State University School of Music, and more than 500 brothers and sisters participated in the 5-day event. During the convention, a financial scandal was shared with the delegation. The issue left both organizations on shaky footing. So to help ensure the organization's future, many past national leaders committed funds to secure both organizations' finances. Wild. Just going to skip right over this scandal without saying anything about it.
The scandal?
Kappa Kappa scandal? Check the receipts.
That's what did they say? I've never heard of this. I didn't know this.
We'll, we'll have to touch back. But one of the people present at this convention was Jack Lee. He goes back that far? I wonder if Jessica knows. I'm kidding.
1969. It was the summer of 69.
I don't get it.
It was the summer of 69. It's a song? Oh my god.
Mark.
He's gaslighting us right now. There's no way. He's gaslighting us right now.
Oh my god.
Anyway, that's pretty cool. 50 years. Obviously, they had to do something big. I don't remember. I didn't ask for an actual lighter. You're gonna burn your microphone. I hope you.
There's like a foot difference.
Did we? Is there anything that you know or remember reading that was? They didn't probably do anything for like the 25 year, or like the 75 year, right? Because I know Tau Beta Sigma just did something for their 75.
Let me check.
So I just wonder like what major celebrations we participated in, because obviously it says 50, and obviously we did the centennial.
Yeah, let's see.
75 would have been in the 80s?
It would be 94.
94 would be our...
the year I was born.
Old. What's it like having a 1 in your birth year?
Weren't you born in 2001?
No.
Damn it.
2000. It
like okay, so...
oh, okay, that's better. Or is it?
20... I was 9 months old when 9/11 happened.
Yeah, we're going to keep that in the podcast too?
Sure. As the editor, I have executive decision.
You have an executive dysfunction. What'd you find, Sav?
Yeah, that too.
So, in 1944, there was no 12th or 13th biennial convention held due to World War II. So there was no convention held during that time. I can check on a 75. What would 75 be? Math? Math is hard.
94.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
94.
And if it was still held in March, that would have been my birthday month.
No, in the previous paragraph, it says that the 50th was celebrated in August.
Oh, wild.
Reading comprehension.
But back in the March days, I gotta stop.
Let's see. 94. Nothing was done in 94 because the biennium convention or biennial convention fell in 95. So, nothing for 25 so really and nothing for 75.
Right, because it would have been even years.
Yes.
Oh, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Hypothetical question. So I guess we won't
celebrate something major again until like the 150th year.
Something, yeah, I guess.
What's up?
So it says the first like national meeting was in 1922, but now our conventions are on odd years. When did it switch? Was it because of the 12th and 13th year being...
maybe, yeah, because because it didn't happen the 12th or the 13th, so it would have happened the 14th.
The 12th would have been, the 12th year would have been even. Then
yeah, and then the 14th even. Was held in 1947, so that's when it became odd. Yeah, because the 12th would have been 43. Well, no, I guess it was still odd then. So I'm going to keep scrolling back and see if I can find where that happened.
It's not a huge deal.
I mean, it's interesting, though, because, yeah. Like, why did it switch? Let's see.
That one person out there who's like, I have the answer. Pick me. Ooh.
Okay. Okay. Okay, so the third was held on an even year. Okay, so, the third biennial convention was held on June 15th, 1926. And then the fourth biennial convention was held December 30th, 1927. So they didn't wait a full 2 years before they had a fourth convention. And so it has since then been odd. I don't know why so they...
What year would that make it?
That the fourth one 47? Was on... It was in 1927.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know why that... Like, why they didn't wait a full 2 years. Way. Yeah. I was going to see if it said anything more. But it does not. I don't know. So, yeah. It got off. And ever since then, it has been odd numbers.
How odd.
It does say at the 1927 National Convention that the Grand President helped stabilize the constitutional framework and administrative structure.
So maybe that's so why they like met again.
Maybe that had something to do with it.
They needed to meet up and talk about
Grand
things.
President.
Yeah. Grand President J. Lee Burke presided and helped to stabilize the constitutional framework.
Now we're going to talk a little bit about building our modern day fraternity. And there's some important points in the timeline that we're going to touch on here. The first being racial diversity. Before World War II, only white males could join Kappa Kappa Psi. And in 1947, the language changed, allowing integration. The fraternity chartered its first chapters at historically black universities in 1957, starting with Langston University and Texas Southern University. And now today, there are over 25 chapters at historically black colleges and universities, also known as HBCUs. The second point is to talk about Title IX and women in the fraternity. Title IX, passed in 1972, required that Kappa Kappa Psi consider gender equality. Initially, an amendment allowed honorary membership for women, but full membership was resisted. By 1977, after discussions on merging with Tau Beta Sigma, the fraternity removed gender restrictions, allowing women to join. The first women came from Arizona State University's Sigma chapter, merging with the Beta Omicron chapter. The BO chapter, and Mark is dancing. That's super cool, though. How does it feel to have the first women at your university?
We make it one of the membership lessons. I think I mentioned this in the previous Tempo episode, but the person who leads it, Leslie Anderson, was around at that time when that kind of stuff. No, I'm so sorry. I believe she was around right after that stuff happened. I could be so wrong and everyone could hate me, but she did a big paper or school or for school, like made it a big project to learn more about all that and stay involved and stay informed. And so she shares that information every year with the membership candidates, and they hike up a mountain and they do it there.
That's awesome.
That's one of our favorite lessons.
It's crazy to think that, like, what we're talking about now, I mean, this is not, like, that long ago. Like, when we talk about the 20s and the 40s, like, that's a long time ago. But we're talking about, mm-hmm. you know, brothers who we have in our chapter who were alive during this time. Like, this was happening, you know? And it's crazy.
Yeah, it's like 45 years ago-ish.
My brain is like, yeah, it's still like 2000s. It's like 30 years ago. Now we're in 2020s. But yeah, crazy. 1977, first women in Kappa Kappa Psi. The second point, or I guess this is our third point. Our third point to talk about when building our modern fraternity is to talk about our national headquarters at Stillwater Station. In 1991, Kappa Kappa Psi and Tau Beta Sigma moved their headquarters to the renovated Stillwater Santa Fe Depot. This space includes offices, archives, and a walk of fame with engraved bricks from supporters. We also have the Chapter Field Representative Program, launched in 1992. The CFR program connects chapters with the national organization. It was expanded in 2006 to include two representatives who serve two-year terms visiting chapters nationwide and acting as key staff members.
So I was right.
Good job.
Yay! Oh, the whatever Tau Beta Sigma moved, the Alpha chapter moved, and now the Beta chapter's at Tech.
Oh, gotcha.
But the Beta chapter is the starters. Yeah. I remember some things. Most of what my memory was based on was because Tech is only an hour and a half away from my chapter. So we tried as often as possible to... It didn't always work out year to year, but we tried as often as possible to like do like something where either they came to us or we went to them just for, you know, like a little day thing, because it's an hour and a half, so quick day trip. We tried. Especially when I was ARO, I tried really hard to get it to happen. And I got it my first year, but I wasn't able to get it to work out my second year. The KSI chapter at Tech came up my first year as ARO, and then we went hiking in Palo Alto Canyon. Super fun. Great pictures. All of goobers. Up next in the timeline is our centennial celebration. The centennial year was marked by a variety of celebratory events that honored the rich history of Kappa Kappa Psi. Among these was the establishment of the unique Centennial Alumni Band, which performed at the National Convention. Devin McDonald from the Mighty Iota Zeta chapter was recognized as the winner of the National Convention Keynote Speaker Contest. This event also featured a special guest artist by... This event also featured a special guest performance by the Melodica Men, who shared the stage with the National Intercollegiate Band.
I forgot about that. That was really cool, from what I remember.
I wasn't a brother when this happened, so I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, I know. Stamp that old seal of approval on my
This happened in between my senior year of high school and my freshman year of college.
You hear that, everyone? This hurts me just as much as it hurts you all.
In addition, brothers had the opportunity to commemorate this milestone by ordering the Centennial Commemorative Shingle, designed to resemble the original shingle of the Founding Fathers. Further enhancing the celebration, the National Communications Team launched the online campaign KKSI Breaking Barriers, which showcased individuals and chapters that have played pivotal roles in breaking barriers and leading the way for others throughout the fraternity's history.
In honor of Centennial, we will go through the National Council for the biennium. It is a lot of names.
I was going to say, it's probably actually just names that more people will recognize nowadays.
Yeah,
anyway, so.
Fair warning, lots of names. Okay, we had National President Evan Thompson from Zeta Chi, National Vice President for Colonization and Membership, now called Membership and Expansion, Marco Krasatovic from the new chapter, National Vice President for Programs, Nicholas Bratcher from Zeta Eta, National Vice President for Student Affairs, Jessica Lee from Eta Alpha, National Vice President for Professional Relations, Dr. Douglas Stotter from the new chapter, and the BOT members included Adam Cantley from the Omicron chapter, Daniel George, Vice Chair from the Delta Sigma chapter, and Eric Morrison from the Delta Omicron chapter, Dr. Melinda Matney from the new chapter, Ed Savoy from Eta Alpha and Eta Omicron, and immediate past National President Jack D. Lee III from Delta Sigma.
See, if he's the third, maybe he does stretch back to the other Jack Lee.
Yeah. I'm gonna DM Jessica.
The Kappa Kappa T.
Kappa Kappa history. Yeah, because if he's the third, yeah, that could have been like father.
I doubt it. It's just really funny.
Grandpa?
Okay. Jessica or Jack, if you listen to this, you let us know. You DM us and let us know.
So we're going to get that message, and then we're also going to get the Kappa Kappa historians that are like, oh, hey, here's the answer to all 70 of your questions.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, they're the true heroes that are lifting up their glasses with one finger saying, actually?
I actually... Centennial. I wish I could have been there. I was not a brother yet either. I was the year after, if that counts for something. But did you get one of those?
I did.
The shingles? Yeah. You have your shingle?
Yeah. Where? That's it. Where the little pin.
Yeah.
On my, whenever I put any of my pins on.
Love that. That's cool.
I was like, I mean, we're not going to get 100 another again in my lifetime, so.
We will be dead.
Yeah, I was thinking even to the 50th one, I was like, I really don't think I'm going to be doing as much at, like,
I don't remember 80. Where my shingle is. Dino keeps threatening to make me buy a frame so I can hang it up, but I don't, I think it's in this drawer back here.
When we say shingle.
Yeah.
Shingle that connects your pins. The pin,
right? Oh,
I no, guess I'm talking about
mine is no. Just a pin. Oh no, I didn't get a shingle then. I just got a pin.
I was always told that the like the fancy paper with your like name on it is called the shingle.
No.
Yeah, because that's I mean that's what I'd always been told they were called. And then
are you talking about like when you get invitation to join the fraternity?
No.
I've never heard that called as a shingle.
If you saw my, I've only ever heard this. I've only ever heard this called a shingle.
Oh, I didn't. I never had a name for it. I don't know.
Yeah, we called this the shingle, but the 100-year one had a special stamp that was like raised.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
That's cool.
On Facebook. Commemorative shingles are available for order. Oh, I did not get one of those. No.
Oh.
I just got a pin.
Mine signed by Jessica Lee.
Love that.
You can't see it. I don't. But there's my government name,
Victoria Wilkinson.
Oh, my middle name, I meant. But
is it? There you go. What is it? Eve.
Yeah.
Q.
Q. Victoria Q. Yep. Wilkinson.
C-U-E.
But yeah, so I keep that in a drawer, and Dino keeps threatening to buy me a frame, and I told him no.
I want to frame mine, too. Mine's not in a drawer. It's in a safe spot, but I do want to frame mine.
If it's not in the drawer, then it's not safe.
Nice.
There they are.
Love that. That's
my paddle, my initiation, Ashley's paddle, Ashley's initiation, her life membership, my Space for Life membership, if I had one.
I do know I have this, too, but they don't print these anymore, the little membership cards.
Oh, yeah. I have one for all my alumni years.
My year was the last year they printed. The year that I became a brother was the last year that they printed them.
I have a life member one, too.
They don't make them anymore.
I am going to frame all my stuff, but I just haven't yet. But I'll probably do it when I move.
Yeah. Anything? I was going to say, is there anything else that you guys wanted to add to this whole thing?
Go check out the timeline. It's really cool. And go look for your petitioning documents, because that's what I'm going to do for my chapter.
Yeah, a lot of work was put into putting all that together.
Yeah, it's very cool to see, like, the history. Like, for me, you know, I know most of the history of my chapter and the people because my chapter is young. But for chapters like yours, where you have, like, there's probably a lot of stuff in there that you've just never seen. Like, or never heard of or something, which would be really cool to see.
Go and check this stuff out, because guaranteed to learn some stuff you never thought you'd learn before.
Oh, yeah. Super cool.
That wraps up our Founders Day special. So we hope you learned something new about the history of our fraternity and encourage you to explore the live timeline to check out all the available documents. As a reminder, November is National Month of Musicianship. So we hope you're either enjoying great music or participating in a community band or other musical organization. And as always, a special thanks to the National Alumni Association and Kappa Kappa Psi, National Honorary Band Fraternity, for making this podcast possible.
Some quick announcements for you guys. It is time to start thinking about running for AABOD. Packets are due January 15th, and you can check out our social media pages for more information. There will also be a town hall meeting on November 17th at 7 p.m. Central Time to learn more about the AABOD and upcoming election from Chair Marina Pina Gio and Vice Chair Membership Director Miranda Cook. Have a wonderful day, and as always, A.
E.
A.